awesome. Wasn't that cute? I love these videos. It's like getting decorating ideas while you're in church. Kind of a little TLC, HGTV junkie, so this has kind of been right up my alley. Hey, like I said, Stovall's at our Orange Park campus, and so he'll be back next week and looking forward to being with y'all. And he just had me step in and preach today, and I just want to let you know that I'm very honored all the time when my husband entrusts the pulpit to me and gives me the opportunity to speak into your lives. And I just know we're going to leave today. I feel like I've got an awesome word from God on, I've got a great message today. God's really been speaking to my heart in the area of relationships. And I really think you're going to leave empowered and encouraged to really excel and go to the next level in this area of your life. So let's pray. We'll get right into the word today. Amen. Father, I just thank you so much that you save us and then you plant us and position us in relationships that are meant to encourage us, to inspire us, Lord, that are meant to be actually part of the transformational process in our lives, Jesus. And I thank you that as we look at your word, God, and we don't just hear it, but we apply it to our lives, that we actually get changed from the inside out, Lord, and we have the opportunity and the choice to move forward in this area of our lives, Jesus. I pray that as we sit here and position ourselves under your word, that you would speak to our hearts, God. Our hearts are open to you today. Day, and we thank you for the eternal work that's going to be done here in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, we are in part two of our open house series, and the series is really just about the divine design of God's house and the reason that God created his house and the role that we have in it and the role that the house of God should play in our lives and how we respond to that. So I'm really excited today to be talking about the dining room. The dining room. The dining room represents that area where relationships are formed. And I don't know about you, but it seems like to me, you know, it's getting more and more where people are so busy and this the pace of life is going so fast that it's almost like sitting down around the dinner table together has become a really special event. It's become kind of a luxury, you know, whereas when I was growing up, it used to be that every night we came home, we sat down around the dinner table and we ate together. That was just what we did. You know, the day kind of closed out and it was just that time where we came on in the house and mom was there and, you know, she had a pot of something on the stove and you walk in and smell that pot roast cooking or smell some bread or some biscuits or whatever she made and you would just kind of know that the time was coming for dinner and you would kind of sit there and just, you know, you would talk about your day and sometimes it wasn't so good, sometimes it was great, but it was a time just to reconnect into my family and just share our day and really engage in those relationships that took my house from house to home. It was the relationships in my family that made my house meaningful. Well, you know, it's the same thing with church. It's the relationships that we build in the church that make church life meaningful. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't come in here and just occupy your seat every Sunday and leave and go out and be blessed. God can totally bless that, and he does. He blesses just coming to his house. But if you want to take your church experience to the next level, if you want to engage it in a way that God really intended it to be engaged and experienced, you have to incorporate life-changing, really good, authentic relationships into your church experience. It's not one of those things that, you know, if you can work it in, you should do it. I really believe that this is taking your church, your relationships even outside of this environment into small group environments and things like that is essential for our health as Christians and our health as people. And I believe it's a God-ordained thing that that we experience relationships at that level. You know, one of my favorite things when I would come in after school and smell something on the stove, I would love it when I would go to the stove and lift up the lid and see gumbo in the pot. See some gumbo, you know, from Baton Rouge. I love it. My mom would make gumbo. You could just tell you come in the house. And, you know, if you go to Louisiana, gumbo there is like, it's a very personal thing. You know, it's very, everyone has their own way to do it. Some people like to put seafood in their gumbo. I don't like to do that. Some people put crab and shrimp. Some people just put chicken and sausage. It's kind of the way I like it. Some people like to use okra. Some people like to use filet. I like okra. Some people like to add the hot sauce. Some people like to let you add your hot sauce. You know, it's all different. Some people like to put fish in their gumbo. Personally, I don't think a bowl of soup is a place for fish. Because when I look at fish in a bowl of soup, it's too close to swimming. And I feel like, you know, it's like I'm Animal Planet. Going in for the kill. She stalks her prey. She closes in on the fish in the bowl. She stabs. She catches it. She eats it in a second. You know, it's like, it reminds me, my fish. You know, it was once alive. I don't want to know that about my food. I want it to be on the plate. So fish belongs on a plate. I don't like it like that. But everybody has a different thing. But you know, No matter how many people you ask and how many recipes you get for gumbo, there's one thing that every recipe for gumbo has. It's the essential ingredient in gumbo that makes it a gumbo. And do you know what? Does anyone know what it is? A roux. Every recipe for gumbo says first you make a roux. And a roux, for those of you who don't know, it's actually a mixture of some kind of fat. Like, I think the best, personally, my favorite is bacon fat. It's not the most healthy thing, but it tastes the best. And but it's like fat and flour, and you mix it up and you like brown it over a slow fire. You know, a really good roux will take you a long time to brown. You know, it's just like, it's a work of art thing. And it's like the roux is that thing that takes the gumbo from chicken soup with okra in it to gumbo. Without the roux, you have chicken soup and gumbo. Chicken soup with okra. With the roux, it's gumbo. And you know, it's funny because you can always tell someone who really knows how to make a gumbo because they're not looking at a recipe book. They're standing over the stove and they're mixing and they're throwing in some onions, they're throwing in some celery and some bell pepper, you know, browning some sausage in there, and they're taking a taste. Oh, that's not right. Let me add this. Let me add a little bit of that. And they're just working it. You know, they're experiencing it, and they're, you know, they're just creating it as they go. It's like it's this art thing. It's not rules. It's sort of like this experience that they're having. But if someone's looking at a recipe book and, you know, they're like a half a cup of onions, leveling it off, measuring out their celery, then you know they're a gumbo novice. Well, you know, that's kind of how relationships are. It would be so easy for us if relationships came with like a rule book, don't you think? If you could just say, look, if you do this, then you'll get this result. Every action has an equal, it would be great if relationships would obey the laws of physics. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction, and you could just kind of know what was going to happen. But people are not like that. They're not rule, people are not, they're not, you can't categorize them like that, because God, he created all of us different. We're all wired differently to fit differently into the whole picture. And so for all of us, our relationships look different from person to person, from season to season. Our relationships are going to look different with each person that we engage with. And there's no rule book that can tell us exactly how to do it in every situation. And you know, the mature person understands that. They understand that if there's not a recipe, there's not a rule book, but it's kind of friendship, relationships, they're not really a science. They're more like an art. And it's something that you have to grow in. You have to experience. You have to get good at responding to people. You have to get good at, you know, understanding when you said the wrong thing. You have to get good at apologizing. It's skills that you learn through observation and experience and walking it out. And it's something that takes practice and time and, you know, learning and walking through some things to get a hold of. But unfortunately, some of us, we're constantly bailing out of relationships and friendships because when it gets time for the learning, it gets tough and we don't know what to do. We're afraid of doing the wrong thing, or we do the wrong thing. And so we're just like, you know, this is just too hard. It's just too hard. And we start isolating ourselves and we leave a path of broken friendships behind us. And the truth is, we never really experience the real, authentic, healthy relationships that satisfy us the way God meant for relationships to satisfy us. He meant for relationships to be satisfying in our lives. But you know, so many times they're not. So just like, you know, I would say gumbo has a certain essential ingredient that makes it authentic. You know, there's nothing worse than going to a restaurant and ordering a bowl of gumbo and you get it back and it's like some chicken soup and okra with a bunch of rice thrown in. You're like, man, this isn't gumbo. There's no roux. What's going on? You know, it's not the right thing. It's not authentic. I had this craving for something, and I thought that's what I got, but when I got it, it wasn't authentic, and it didn't satisfy me. Well, authentic, satisfying, healthy relationships are going to have certain ingredients that make them true friendships, and I'm going to talk about a few of those today. Are you ready? Yes. Okay. Y'all used up all your energy in worship. Now you're like, looking at me like that. It's good. Okay. It's all right. All right. The first ingredient, number one, is trust. The first ingredient is trust. Now, trust is one of these things that it can't be forced. You know, you cannot force someone to trust you, but it can be won. People's trust can be won. You know, no one owes you trust. Trust is something that you have to earn and win from people. It takes work and it takes time to earn trust. All of us want to be trusted, right? But man, we have to show ourselves trustworthy, worthy of trust. And this is where integrity comes into play in a huge, huge way. If we want people to trust us, we have to do what we say we're going to do. We have to be loyal. We have to keep their secrets when they tell us to keep a secret. We have to not sell them out behind their back. You know, we got to be there for them. We can't stand them up at the mall or at Starbucks. We got to call when we're going to be late. Little simple things, like that. They build trust with people. Returning a call when you say, it's just little things in life that deposit into that bank that builds that trust account for people. You know, and when we get trust in our relationships, when you start to build that foundation and it starts to get solid, this is the starting point where we can really start to reap the benefits of relationships, good, solid relationships. When you gain trust with someone, that is where you have the opportunity, the access to speak into their life. You have an inroad into their heart where they can receive truth from you. When somebody else becomes a person that you trust, when you have a friend that you trust, you know, all of a sudden when they need something and they have to speak truth into your life, they have access to your heart. You can receive it from them. You know, we all have friends like that. They can tell you stuff that nobody else can tell you. And I believe that those friendships are so godly because it brings that balance of reflection into our life. It brings that balance of truth. And we have to have that to grow. But there has to be trust there. You know, John Maxwell has a book called Developing the Leader Within You. And it's about different kinds of leadership, levels of leadership. It's about becoming, you know, the godly leader God created you to be. And the lowest possible level of leadership and influence is called positional leadership. It's basically when someone is put in a position over you and either to keep your job or whatever, you have to follow that person because of their title. They're just positioned over you. But they're not the kind of person that necessarily you would choose to follow. In fact, you're going to do the bare minimum that you have to do just to get by, just to, you know, not get fired, just to get your paycheck. But otherwise, you are not going to do one thing for that person. That is the lowest level of leadership and influence. And, you know, basically all relationships start like that. They start at a low level. I'm just kind of in your world. And I need to work with you, or I need to serve on a ministry team with you, or you happen to be in my family and I can't do anything about it. So I'm stuck with you kind of deal. Relationships start there, but you know, that's just a starting point. They're not supposed to end there. And I think that if we can become really people of integrity, people who are trustworthy, people who are wise about gaining access to people's hearts by showing them the love of Jesus. Now listen, not manipulating people. Too many times especially in a society like ours where it's all about leveraging your contacts and who knows who, and you're trying to get an inroad here, people are not resources to you in that way. People are not assets to be managed and leveraged. People are people. And, you know, only sincere love is the kind that really gains access into people's hearts. And that's only done through Jesus. It's not done by, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about sincere, undefiled love is where you start that inroad to trust. And this is where relationships start to get really fun. This is where we can really start to grow in our relationships. Proverbs 27:6 says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy's kisses are deceitful. You know, there's a lot of people in life who'll tell you what you want to hear. There's a lot of people in life who'll be willing to flatter you for what you can give them or from what they can get from you. But a true friend is willing to cut their losses in order to tell you the truth so you can grow. And we all need people like that in our lives, right? We do. All right, number two, here's the second essential ingredient. It's openness. Openness. And this is just basically honesty, you know, and this is something that can't be forced either. It has to be natural. It can't be weird. You can't force someone to open up for you. And like I said before, you absolutely can't do this apart from the foundation of trust, but it's something that kind of has to be a mutual thing where you're ready to take that friendship to the next stage. And you know, not every friendship makes it to this stage, and that's okay. That's okay. Not every friendship is supposed to be this, you know, deep knitting together friendship. You know, even Jesus, he had crowds of 5,000 following him, but he really only had 12 friends that really were in his world. And then of those 12, there were really only 3 that went up with him to the mountain. And so it's okay. Jesus models that for us. So there are going to be people that you are tied to in life. Your spirit calls out, you know, you're just knit together in spirit, and they're going to go the distance. These are the kinds of friendships, though, that start you on that road. Have you ever, like, I don't know, this is maybe more of a girl thing. Maybe it's not such a male thing. But, you know, for women, sometimes what we do is when we want to see how close we are to someone, we'll, like, tell them a secret about ourselves. Is that just me? Am I, like, telling you how dysfunctional I am up here? Y'all help me out, girls. Yeah. All right. But, you know, sometimes we'll, like, Oh, here's a better example. Just wipe that off your slate. Okay. Have you ever been in a situation where you tell someone, I love you, and they don't tell you I love you back? If you've ever been dating, you're like, I love you. And they're like, thanks. So, that's a bad feeling. You know, it's like you're done. You've just unleveled the playing field right there. There's no going back. It's out there. You can't take it back. It's all downhill after that. You can't go back. So anyway, but the openness thing is, that's an example of how it has to be mutual. You know, that its openness is something that can't be forced. It has to, again, be a natural progression. I want to read something for you from John 15:15. And this is the Last Supper. And this is kind of the last time that Jesus is going to meet together with his closest friends before he goes to the cross. And last words are really important. It's like Jesus is kind of taking everything they've learned and he's kind of putting it together in some last statements to prepare them for the trials ahead and for the next season in the kingdom. You know, they don't even really know what's going to happen. They can't even envision the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They can't even envision the struggles that they're going to, they don't even really have a revelation of the church. When Jesus was, he spoke about that then. He said, there's more things I want to tell you, but you can't bear them right now. And in that context, he was talking about, you know, not just coming to save the Jews, but saving the Gentiles also. There were all kind of revelations that Jesus was sowing seeds into their heart to prepare them for. It was really important stuff, but I think it's so incredible that Jesus took just a second out of that major vision casting, preparing them for the next season and dispensation of the kingdom of God. He took a minute to talk about friendship. He took a minute to say, hey, look, this is where our friendship is. And he says this, he says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Jesus has taken them from one level of friendship to another level. And the defining thing is how much he opens himself to them. I'm opening myself. I'm giving you more revelation. I'm going to bring you in a little farther. We've established trust. You've been with me. And now we're going to take it to the next level, and I'm bringing you into my plans. I'm going to let you know what's really up here. And you know, I love this because Jesus is bringing them into a greater knowledge of the Father and his plans, and he's taking them from being servants, or what would be more of a word that we might use today is, you used to be my employees. You used to just work for me. But now you're going to just be my friends. See, the first relationship is an under relationship. Servant, employee, it's an under relationship. Friend is an alongside relationship. Servant is an arrangement, but friend is an alliance. We're bonding together. We're linking arms and we're going forward together. And this is the friendships that you're going to start to get in this arena, and these are the friendships that are going to go the difference. And the last essential ingredient of authentic, healthy, satisfying relationships is agreement. You know, in the Bible, there's a verse that says, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? These are the friendships, when you get to this level where you are walking together, these are what I like to call empowered friendships. This is where your friendships take on a new meaning and a new life, and you're rallied together around something greater than yourself. This is where you are rallied together. Your friendship becomes built around things other than just common interest, you know, like maybe scrapbooking or working out or sports or whatever things you're interested in, and they start to be built around a bigger cause. It's a different kind. It's an agreement that is very, very powerful. There's a lot of power in agreement. That's basically this unity thing that is supposed to characterize us as believers. And you know, in John, 1 John 1:5-7, John sort of describes this fellowship that we have in the body of believers. And it reads like this. He says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Let me read that one more time. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, this kind of describes a message to a relationship to me that is a place of complete freedom and acceptance. It's a place that everything is out in the light. There are no secrets to hide. There's nothing that's holding you back from each other. There's no hidden offenses. It's a place where there is really pure love and where pure love can flow, and you can feel free to say, hey, look, I messed up. Can you forgive me? There's true forgiveness. This is a really mature friendship level. And a lot of people never ever, can I be truthful with you? They never ever experience relationships like this in their lives because it takes a lot of work on our part, and it takes us focusing on something other than our own needs. It takes us being outward focused so that we can like get our eyes off of ourselves and bond ourselves around purpose. You know, but it is when you get to this level of fellowship, real fellowship, which I'm going to talk about in a second, it's the highest level, I believe, of Christian friendship that God wants you to experience. And it's a place of freedom and no secrets. Have you ever walked into a room and when you walked in, all of a sudden everybody got quiet and you knew they were talking about you? You're like, I just walked into a room and people were ripping me. They tried to get, like, they were ripping me up and they just tried to be quiet. You knew someone was talking about you. It's a bad feeling. Or have you ever been in a friendship with someone that, you know, maybe they did something that made you angry, or you did something to them and you think they don't know about it and you're worried about them finding out. And then before you know it, like, you're starting to avoid them in the hallway. You're not returning their calls. You're not returning their texts or their emails. And you can't, you know, you get around them and there's this awkwardness. It used to be so free and life-giving. You couldn't wait to see them. And now it's like they walk in the room and there's this white elephant in the room. And you can't look at each other in the eye, you know? And what happens is that people hurt us and they disappoint us. And what we do, instead of going to them, the first thing we do is we start going to other people and talking about it and seeking advice and prayer. Can I just empower you today? I want to empower you with something. You can go to people who offend you and you can talk to them. It takes a lot of maturity to do that. And it actually takes a lot of courage, because when we do that, let me tell you what you're doing. When you go to someone and say, you've hurt me, you've offended me, what you've done is you've just given them power to an extent in your life. And it's humbling is what it is. And actually, it brings death to your flesh. But through the power of the Holy Spirit in you, you are able to do that. And you will be amazed how situations like this, like somebody does something to you, and then you go tell this other person, and like, man, look, Sally did this, but don't tell her you know, and I just want you to give me advice. And then that person's in this unhealthy triangle where they know something they're not supposed to know, and this person doesn't know that they know it, and you know, it's all this, it's an unhealthy triangle. And what's happened is their peace can't be brought in because everyone's bound in secrecy. Can you see how unhealthy that is? We've all been there. But you know what will so expose that and kill it? Is the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth can set you free. You know, there's no such thing as freedom without truth. And that kind of unhealthy triangle, and we have to talk about conflict if we're going to talk about relationships, because, you know, truthfully, where else do we have conflict? You don't have conflict with your furniture. You know, with your bedpost, you got conflict with people. And it's just a fact of life. People are going to let you down. You're going to have issues. And as mature believers, if we're going to go to the next level in our relationship with Christ and with other people, we've got to know how to negotiate conflict in a Christ-like great way. And there is a very Christ-like good way to negotiate conflict. But it starts with humility and it starts with truth. It starts with giving God's truth a chance to bring out the best in you, giving his truth a chance to bring out the best in other people. You know, and before you would go say something, you just tell somebody about something that they've done to you to offend you or hurt you, you just need to get before God and check your heart, make sure your motives are right, present it in a loving way. Hey, maybe they won't respond the way that you think that they should respond, but you know, at least you gave truth a chance. At least you gave God a chance there. And then what you do is you just go back to Jesus and you humble yourself and you pray and you wait for him to act on your behalf. We don't have to get into drama and fights with people. That does not represent Christ. It doesn't represent Christ when we talk about each other and backbite each other and gossip about our friends. It stunts your friendships from going to the next level, because then you lose trust and you're back to square one again. We don't want to go there. We want to keep going forward because we want to experience the right kind of satisfying relationships that God created us to experience. You know, the word fellowship is a Greek word called koinonia. Koinonia. Has anybody ever been familiar with that word? Did anybody know that? This is like a big buzzword in the 70s and 80s, if you've been saved that long. I remember, I was just little, but I do remember the word koinonia floating around everywhere. But fellowship is one of those words that is unique to Christian friendship. It's a word that's almost exclusively used for Christian relationship, Christian friendship. And it has inherent within it, if you were to go look it up, it has inherent within it four concepts: community, partnership, participation, and purpose. It's when you see the word fellowship in the Bible, it is talking about friendships built around purpose. It is us in friendships and relationships with other people so that we can be in relationship with Jesus so that we can make his purposes happen on the earth. And because our eyes are not focused on ourselves, it takes the stress off the relationship and it puts it all in Jesus's court. It puts it in God's court. You know, I'm going to close up in just a second here, but you know, when we start to get offended, when we start to get into these areas where we're entering into some unhealthiness in our relationship, what the devil seeks to do to us is he seeks to isolate us. You know, something happens and then we see that person and then we're offended by them. And then what happens is we won't talk to them. And before you know it, the devil is planting seeds in your mind and you're making assumptions of their motives, things that you really don't know. You're just assuming it based on your feelings and your filters. And then all of a sudden, you're just turning these thoughts over in your mind. And you become little by little, you distance yourself and distance yourself and distance yourself until you look up one day and you realize you're just totally disconnected. You're totally disconnected. You know, the Bible says that one puts 1,000 to flight, but two put 10,000 to flight. Do you think the enemy actually wants you to be 10 times more effective than you could be by yourself? We really need to recognize this whole process when it starts to happen in your life, that it's not about the people, but it's about the enemy trying to stunt your purpose and your destiny and cause you to shrink back from that. You know, in closing, I just want to talk about an example of these kind of friendships that go beyond just fun and interest-based to based around purpose. How many of you remember your high school graduation? You remember being in high school, man, those friendships at that moment, they just seemed so important to you. You just made those friends and you just think these people are going to be friends with me forever. I just remember that. I'm at my high school graduation. We're standing up there on the stage in our cap and gown. Friends are friends forever. If the Lord's the Lord of them, like, I just love you. Never going to let you go. Don't ever change. Just love everybody, you know. Like 3 weeks later, you're enrolled in college. You totally forgot who they are. You never see them again. I don't know, I've never seen 99% of those people ever again in my life. And they were the most important thing to me for 4 years. But it's like all that was built around fun and just senior class, and those are all good. It's fun. It's a level of friendship that's good to have. It's like fun, party, the whole, you know, everybody have a good time. That's okay, you know, good. That's one area. But man, the friendships that stuck with me, the ones that made a difference in my life are the ones I made in college. These are the people that I fasted with, that I prayed with, that I went on the mission field with, that I did outreaches with, that I preached with. These are the people who taught me how to forgive. You know why? They gave me things to forgive. These are the people who taught me how to overcome offense because guess what? They offended me. But these are the people that I stuck it out with. These are the people who taught me how to take it to God. And you know, those people, even though they're spread all over the world, some of them are in Asia, some of them are in St. Louis, Mississippi, Tennessee, St. Augustine. You know, every time we contact each other, it might be years, but when we talk to each other, when we get the Christmas card or the email, it's like we never, ever left. We just pick up where we left off because our spirits were knit together around purpose and not just interest. You know, it was really, those are the transforming relationships, you know, and Pastor David Stein is going to come on up right now and we're going to get ready to close. But I just want to give you an encouragement right here. You know, the house of God has a dining room. It has a dining room where you can sit down and you can eat and you can be satisfied. And it has a place for you to build relationships in your life. But it's funny that, you know, we can come to the table with a plate, an empty plate, and we can leave with an empty plate if we refuse to get up and serve ourselves. You know, think of a buffet. Church is like a buffet. And all the food is on the buffet. But it's so easy. It's totally possible for you to come into the dining room and sit there and maybe just talk to some people and be in the dining room. But if you never get out of your chair and go and put some mashed potatoes and gravy and roast beef and green beans on your plate, you're going to leave hungry. You're going to leave hungry. You're going to leave unsatisfied. And whenever we don't intentionally position ourselves in environments that give us the opportunity for more fulfilling, intimate, closer relationships, like groups, like ministry teams, like, you know, whatever, those kinds of things like that. When we don't position ourselves there, you know, and something about church is like, leaves you a little unsatisfied. It leaves you a little hungry. Like I come, I love church. I love the music. I feel God at the altar. Man, there's something, I'm just, I'm not satisfied with church. There's something lacking. I want to tell you today, it's time for you to pick up your plate and go to the buffet and put some food on it. You need to eat some real substance. You need to eat. You need to fill yourself and your life up with relationships, and it will take your experience with church to the next level, because that's where God intended you to be. Amen? Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.